This is Nadia from the Relativity Podcast, and you're listening to Discussing Comics.
Hello there, this is Olivia from Ozone Podcast. I like to listen to people talk about things. So here's a really good network for people talking about things. It's actually called the Discussing Network, because it's people talking about things. Enjoy!
Welcome back, everyone. This is Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and joining me back on this podcast tonight, I want to say welcome back to the one, the only, Clarence Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I have been listening. I have not been far away. I've definitely been keeping abreast of what's going on with Discussing Comics. So I'm glad to be back on, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait to chop it up with you guys.
Well, I'm not going to say I didn't miss you because I absolutely did miss you, but I have to thank this next voice, this next person, because he's kind of helped fill in that gap, but he's also become part of the family. So welcome back, Ron Stevens.
Hey, man. It's good to be back, man. And Clarence, it's good to have you on here, and it's been looking forward to this.
Me too. I'm glad to have all three of us on the call. It would be absolutely perfect if we had Lee on and then, you know, get Nicole, and then we could get Megan, of course, just have a like good old time. But we're going to have a good time tonight because we're talking about Titans. And I have a real quick question for Ron. In our last episode, we set up House of X, Powers of 10. And without going into the story, quick question for everyone listening. Are you still enjoying reading House and Powers?
House and Powers has not yet slowed down for me. It's still a good read, man.
I'm going to take you one step higher or raise you one step. And I'm going to say this is the most exciting and the most fun I've had reading a comic book probably since the late 80s, early 90s. And that was my time. I mean, I'm having so much fun.
High praise, man. High praise. So let me ask you guys, what makes this one so different?
Ron, why don't you go first?
Well, for me, I'm a big Hickman fan, and knowing what he does with his stories, he takes you on this long journey, and it's like a joyride, basically. And he's just redefining the history of X-Men. Of course, it's been done before, but I think this is like going to redefine it for long term.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to say the thing that hurt me the most about X-Men in recent years, and especially since, you know, Clarence, you and I have talked about my distaste for the Inhumans is because of me feeling like Marvel for several years tried to push the Inhumans down our throat while they didn't have rights for the X-Men. And during the last, say, 5 or 10 years, there have been weeks that have gone by that I would buy the books and I wouldn't even read them. And then whenever I would read them, I'd be like, whatever. But these stories, I absolutely have no idea what's coming next. And the things that I'm seeing are melting my brain.
Wow. Awesome, man. Awesome.
Yes, absolutely awesome. And what I hope is going to be awesome, and I know, Clarence, you are caught up pretty much. You may not watch Arrow, I don't think, but for the other DC comic stories on CW, you watch, which ones of those do you watch? I know you've caught up, I think, on Supergirl, aren't you?
Yeah, Supergirl is the only one I really watched, though I admittedly the last season was like the worst one out of all of them. Of course, that show switched channels not too long ago. So I don't know. I'm not sure I'm, you know, fully invested in the direction they're taking, but I do tune in from time to time. Yeah.
It sounds like you have one foot out the door, Clarence, with the shows.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, you know. But I do try to keep up with it, though. But yeah, it seems a lot different than it started out as. Mm-hmm. But I am excited about the upcoming crossover event. So that has me ready to dive back in.
See, that's where I was going with that, is I am so excited about the crossover. And I want to know, Ron, I don't think you and I've ever talked about this, but do you watch any of the CW DC shows?
You know, I used to. I was really hooked on the first season of The Flash. I thought Flash season 1 was like great. And season two was okay. And after that, it just kind of went downhill for me with it. So I kind of just wait till the crossovers came up and I'll watch those. But I guess the Arrowverse is kind of how I treat basketball. Like, I don't really pay attention to it the regular season all the way up until the playoffs, which is the crossover. So.
I like that.
And I will add, I do watch Black Lightning as well. So I think in this upcoming crossover, they're supposed to include Black Lightning in a group, which should be interesting. But you know, even that season two of that wasn't as strong as season one. So I don't know. I'm going to stay abreast of it, but you know, it's just not tickling my fancy like it did the first couple of years ago. So I don't know.
Does Black Lightning kind of feel like DC's answers to Marvel's Luke Cage?
Yeah, because it's definitely tackling a lot of social issues. And that's not too far from what the original comic did. So, you know, you just have to have a taste for it. that's about what it boils down to. But it does have some interesting characters, which you know, I find fun. So
I'm curious as what we're going to have as far as the CWDC post-crisis TV universe, because we know Arrow is ending and it has a very short season. I'm really curious as to what's going to happen there. My speculation is going to be, obviously, that Green Arrow is not going to make it out alive. That's my speculation.
Yeah, and that certainly makes a lot of sense since we know the show is going off the air. But I am excited about them bringing in other characters who we've known in this expanded universe over the years, as Brandon Roth, you know, from Superman movies, coming to the crossover, as well as Michael Rosenbaum coming back as well.
I've heard
something about that too.
Yeah. I was hoping they'd get Tom Willing, but if they get Tom Willing, I would be, over the moon on it.
Yeah, if they get him to be a Superman, I'll hop on for that for sure.
And, you know, if we want to go Tom Welling, we need to also say, and she's appeared on Supergirl before, but if they could get Linda Carter back as Wonder Woman, I would be so happy. Ooh, I would be so happy.
Let's do it.
But let's not talk about Wonder Woman. Let's talk about Wonder Girl, and let's get into the Titans on DC Universe. Let's go ahead and say, if you have not seen season 2, episode 1, put us on pause. Go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers.
We are back, and Ryan, why don't you take it first? Question. What did you think? Summary view. What did you think of this episode?
I feel like it was more like a season finale of season one than an actual, like, a season premiere, because at the end of season one, it was left so wide open. Like, it didn't feel like it was closing. Like, it, you know how some seasons end, but they also kind of lead on to something else for you to look forward to. This kind of just left the book wide open, and it just didn't really have a full, like, ending. Yeah, so when episode one came on, it was, like I said, it was more so of a season finale than it was a season premiere, which isn't bad. I mean, I would just kind of wish they would have had that one episode for season one instead of it being for season two.
Okay. All right, Clarence, what about you? What do you think?
Oh, man, it's like Ron is reading my mind over there. this episode definitely feels like it should have been the final episode of the last season. It wraps up so many things that had us hanging from last season. Now, seems like seasons or series these days don't really do the end of season cliffhanger, and they do the part two the next season. They very much did it in the Star Trek days, but seems like now they don't do that too much. They may just leave a trinket for you to pick up in the next season. But this is definitely like the second part of that two-part finale or whatever from last season, and it does complete the story. And it's kind of weird coming back to it after all this time. And I actually had forgot a lot about last season, so it really just feels like it fit into the end of last season better, because it could have put a bow tie on that whole story, and we could start off fresh this season. Which, you know, by the end of this episode, I feel like we are starting off fresh.
So I'm going to make it 3 for 3. Because when I watch this, I'm going to echo a little bit about what both of you said. But Clarence, I'll start with you at saying some of the story points, I actually wish that I would have gone back and watched the finale from last year before watching this one. Because I did feel like, okay, what exactly? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what's going on. So there was a little bit of a disconnect there. But Ron, kind of to what you said, I felt like, especially with the scene where after everything is said and done and they're basically saying goodbye to each other and going their separate ways, I'm like, this really doesn't feel like a coming together episode. So I'm going to speculate that we are all three right. And here's why. I looked up the season 2 episode count to see if, hey, you know, this is second season. Did it get more episodes? And I looked and I said, oh, 13 episodes. Well, let me go see how many episodes season 1 had. Oh, 11 episodes. Wait, yeah. If I put one more over there on the other side, we got 12 and 12.
Yeah.
Yup.
So why would they hold it, I wonder?
I don't know. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. It really doesn't. There's no real reason, rhyme or reason why they just took that one episode and just plopped it over to season 2. It really, there's really no reason onto it. But I'm glad that they did put it in, because honestly, I was almost out the door with the show, because like how they just left it out like that. And if they were going to start a whole new season without explaining how the first season even ended, it would have definitely, I would have been out. I would have been so not into season 2.
Yeah. And I think what's even more weird too, at the end of the last season, we got that awesome cliffhanger of I guess Superboy at Project Katniss, I guess.
Yeah.
And it seems like we would have, if they could have finished last season properly, we would have got that, you know, little trailer or teaser at the end of this episode, and we'd be ready for next season. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. Absolutely.
So, I mean, they just totally forgot about that. I'm sure we're going to revisit it as the season goes on. But yeah, I don't. It's weird.
All right, so let's just kind of.
Smith, you should just have us like write seasons.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
From now on, yes. How about that?
There you go. All right, so let's kind of start where the episode left off, and particularly let's start with Jason recruiting Hawk and Dove. I'm curious, Ron, what do you think of Jason Todd as Robin, or at least how he's portrayed for this Jason Todd?
I don't think it's really Jason Todd. I feel like he's more so like maybe Dick, or maybe like a Tim Drake, maybe. But I don't think he's really like a true Jason Todd. I think the person who, the one actor who plays Dick in the show, I feel like that's more so of Jason.
Really?
Is that more so in you talking about in stature? Or because
in personality wise, I think because during season 1, Dick seemed very unhinged and couldn't really control that anger, or like how he was describing that darkness.
Interesting. Because I was just gonna say, like Jason Todd, and I remember, and I think we even talked about it in the last season when the Jason Todd character goes rampage on the police.
Mm-hmm.
And that just threw me back. Like, no. I mean, of course, knowing some of the background of the character, that's not out of line for him. So, in my sense, that established him. Although, again, I know very little about the character of Jason Todd. But to me, for what I know, that, you know, that set my frame of mind that this ain't your daddy's Robin. You know, this guy is unhinged and just wants to have fun and be a bad A, you know. So, I don't know.
I mean, but hey, this is not your daddy's Titans, really, honestly. Because
true.
Because these Titans, they go all out. They take people out.
Yeah.
Like, so Yeah, I mean, this is a whole different take on Titans because, you know, I don't know if y'all ever seen that one episode of Teen Titans Go where they had three versions of the Teen Titans. Of course, it was the Cartoon Network's first season of Teen Titans. And then it's Teen Titans Go. And they did like this, I guess, their dark DC Universe brooding type version. This is the Titans they were talking about, basically. The brooding type, basically.
I think, you know, Dick seemed like himself to me, except for the fact of I do think like the F Batman statement, you know, I think that was more of establishing this is not your daddy's Titans. You know, this is going to be Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go. It's not going to be Starfire going, oh, Robin, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
You said F Batman. I was okay. All right.
and you know, I'm cool with the way that they are portraying, you know, Dick, but also the way they're portraying Jason. I'm just ready for them to stop wearing the same costume. I mean, that may be dumb of me, but I'm ready tired for of them to being
be Nightwing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's time for Dick to be Nightwing now. I mean, it was cool how they had him, you know, I guess you could say just unmask himself and have this no identity or trying to find himself basically. But I think now you've done enough of that. Now it's time for him to actually find a new identity in Nightwing.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Certainly season one up until this, you know, what feels like the end of a season in this opener is all about Dick Grayson finding himself, to which he has, I must spoil it in. I can't get Jorah Mormont as Batman. I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Me either. Me either. I cannot.
No.
I guess it's like their response. I guess it's like their way of their modern time Adam West Batman.
Yeah, the Scottish accent or whatever British.
Yeah, I don't know, but I
can't get with it. It just felt weird.
It did. And it makes you think, wow, how much time has passed for. Like, is he even still Batman right now? Like, what?
I was okay with him being older, but just it being Ian Glenn, it just didn't work for me at all.
It really doesn't. I was like, at first, when I heard about him being Batman, I was like, okay.
I'll go with you.
And
one
now
step
you
further.
See it happen, and you're like, no.
He should have played Alfred. He looks like an Alfred.
He's more of an Alfred. Yes, he's more of an Alfred. He was not Bruce. He was not Bruce at all.
Sorry, I derailed the conversation.
No, because I think you were thinking exactly what we were both thinking.
You were both thinking because I watched episode one like twice. And every time we got to that part, I was like, this is not my Batman. This is not him at all.
So now we know why he said F Batman. So see, now we know.
Yeah. And it doesn't really match that dream state he was in season one when he was fighting Batman. It's hard for me to picture that being Batman.
Daenerys.
It just don't fit. I'm sorry. It just doesn't
just
fit.
Don't, man. The square doesn't fit in the triangle at all. No matter how many times you try, it's not going to work, man.
But I will say that is the only real gripe I had with this episode. Other than it being mostly, to me, we had this big buildup with all these, you know, proposed dream sequences, so to speak. And it all kind of ended very abruptly at the end. And I would have liked to see more of, is it Trigon?
Yes.
Trigon?
Yeah, Trigon. Yeah.
Okay, I keep thinking of anime. It would have been awesome to see more of him as, you know, this villainous being, you know, but budget CG or whatever, which I thought the CG was okay, but not the greatest. But I would have liked to see more of him and see what he was all about, because I think I really liked how they introduced him, how he has all these powers that are seem more psychological and it reminds me of a scary movie in a lot of ways, a horror flick. but we don't last with that. We don't keep with that very long before, you know, he's not even around anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he was meant to be their season one villain.
Really? So who was meant to be season one, you think?
Not to me. I don't know. Maybe. Well, now that he's now season two, maybe Deathstroke being season one. And then you maybe, I guess, to me, I think Trigon is more like your, maybe your series ending villain.
But see, I think that plays right into what Clarence is saying in the sense of it just kind of felt as a letdown, because I agree with what you're saying, Ryan, in that Trigon seems to be what you're going to build toward and you start smaller. But I felt, I mean, it was like, really? Oh, he's gone now? That's all you've spent 12 episodes building up, and she goes, oh, look, I'm your daughter. Well, look what I can do.
Maybe he's not completely gone. Like, it seemed like maybe he's not completely gone, because it didn't seem like he was being destroyed per se, but maybe his physical body, maybe, but it seemed like he was being sent back to wherever he was.
Mm. Yeah. I agree.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, so we may see him pop up again.
Yeah, so they may actually go around, you know, come back to this, revisit this story.
So let me ask you guys this. Let's go back. Let's backtrack just a bit to the temptations, as I will call them. Were there any that stood out to you that you thought was better than another, or that you liked better?
I don't know. I thought the Donna Troy temptation was interesting. Just to see what happened to her father, because I went back and kind of read the story, what really happened. They changed it just a little bit, but I thought that one was interesting. That might be the most interesting one of all of them to me. What about you guys? Did any jump out at y'all?
I think Batman's or Dick's temptation, I think that was one of one that kind of jumped out at me, because we knew about Dick and Bruce always butting heads. As he got older, it just took it to a whole new level, basically, from my memory of them actually, you know, when Robin was with Batman and seeing him as he grew up, he was trying to become more of himself as an individual character and wanting to do things his way. That's what made him break up. But now you're looking at, okay, as more of, I guess, like a more realistic version of that, and seeing that how can one person be brought up in that kind of environment, how that could, that one person may want to blame all his, you know, all whatever he's going through on that one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that, but for me, Clarence, you're going to know where I'm going with, you know, I'm going to go with Donna Troy, because that's, you know, I'm a big Donna Troy fan, and I love the fact of being able to actually see a live version of the little girl in the house fire. I just wanted for her to look up and at least see a silhouette of Wonder Woman standing there, at least from one of her origins or whatever. But that one hands down was my favorite.
Yeah. And getting back to like the Dick Grayson one, I'm trying to, you know, play back in my head, like Dick's reasoning on, you know, blaming Batman for everything. Cause to me, it seems like he's at an old enough age now. We see where
he should be over it.
Yeah, he should already be over this. He's like a detective working for the, you know, it seems like he should have had enough time to kind of realize or rationalize himself that, you know, although Bruce was using him somewhat as a weapon, he's not wrong in that, but he really was still trying to do what was best for him, you know. And I wouldn't look at Bruce Wayne and think he'd be the best parent anyway, you know, even if they weren't, you know, fighting crime, you know, he's like a bigger than our playboy or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he did the best he could, because I don't think those parental qualities are natural to him, you know? So I think Dick should have been old enough to rationalize that himself, instead of having to go through this season long arc of brooding about Bruce.
Yeah. And almost the love hate relationship that they were trying to portray in season one between he and Jason, in a sense of, I don't want to be there, but I don't want you. You know, you kind of got that feeling of, I don't want you there either.
Well, that was, I thought that was fun.
It was fun.
I like them two going against each other. what do you guys think about like Hawk and Dove's, them directly tackling like drug abuse and stuff with that, with their little flashback?
Or their that was pretty excuse. Deep.
Yeah, I agree.
Actually, yeah, it was pretty deep. I almost forgot about that, their temptation. But yeah, that one was pretty deep. And knowing because he already saw how damaged their relationship was anyways.
Yeah.
During season one. And to see how Hawks, his addiction could possibly destroy Dove's.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, it is a disaster made in hell for sure.
Yeah, I was looking at them thinking they've made those two characters in this series more likable. I've liked them better in this series than any time I've read them in the comics. So kudos to the two actors portraying Hawk and Dove, because I've never really cared about them in the comics, but they make me like the characters, or actually care about the characters. So kudos to them. So I want to ask you guys, what did you think about turning on Beast Boy? I'll just go ahead and say what I thought. I felt so bad for when they were beating up on him.
It was a little cringeworthy to see them beat the brakes off the guy, basically. It's bad enough during season one, and he was like just puking up blood and just being sick, and then he's got to turn around and everybody is just basically just going ham on him. It was pretty tough. I'm not sure how to feel about this version of Beast Boy, honestly, because I never thought of Beast Boy willing to kill.
I think any of these, if they are in this series, you might as well go ahead and say to yourself, they will kill somebody. They will F you up and they will kill you.
I've gone to the point. Yeah, I'm used to that now, but it took a time for me to actually to adjust when I saw him just turn to a tiger and just basically maul that guy in the cage in season one. I was like, whoa, all right.
We talked briefly about the CGI effects of Trigon. I'm curious, if you guys were to rate him, and I want to say the low end of the bar is going to be Steppenwolf, let's say, from Justice League, and the high end of the bar would be, of course, Thanos and how realistic he looked. So if I were to ask you guys to rate him somewhere between, with Thanos being a 10 and Steppenwolf being a 0, if I were to give that a number to Trigon as a CGI, Clarence, what number would you give in your assessment from 1 to 10?
Oh, man, come on. Steppenwolf was not that bad. Come on, dude.
Come on, dude. He was. All right. Okay, so Steppenwolf will be a 5. Okay, let me do this. Steppenwolf is a 5. And then Doomsday from Superman versus Batman would be a 0.
Oh, God. Here we go. I thought it was okay. Now, the thing is, we as viewers have become so much attuned to, especially with recent exclusive streaming series, so them putting a lot of budget behind their special effects. And, you know, seeing him was the only point, I must say, out of anything I've seen in season one and this episode, of me questioning the special effects. It's the only time they've had me hook, line, and sinker on every other special effects shot. But here it felt kind of rushed, and that might be why we didn't get the episode last season, because we know the CG takes a lot of time to render.
Good point.
But it was okay. It was borderline Sci-Fi Channel special effects back in the day. Sci-Fi Channel special effects.
Okay, Ron, what about you? What do you think?
You know what? It was about subpar with Arrowverse CGI. Okay. If you look at it, it was about as good as a TV show special effects is going to get. You expect it to be like Clarence mentioned, how some streaming services, how they just go all out with their special effects. If you've seen trailers for The Mandalorian for Disney Plus series, that you would think that was a movie, but it's DC Universe, and I don't think they have that much actually backing this service. So that's what you're gonna get. That was about as good as gonna get. It was, like Karen said, it was okay. Not what I've been used to as of late, because I've seen amazing CGI. Because going back to Endgame, going back to Captain Marvel, to watching the Mandalorian trailers, it's really hard. It's, I guess you could say, I'm weaning off of such great CGI, and here I'm watching this, so it was a bit of a hard, cultural shock, I guess you can say.
So I'm going to say I've seen worse, but I'm going to say that I've also seen better. And I'm not sure if it's necessarily a DC Universe thing, because I know from seeing what little bit of Swamp Thing that I've seen, that was some pretty impressive CGI that they did on Swamp Thing for every episode. So I wish they could have rendered a little bit better, but I'm not mad at what they did. I just wish that it could have looked just a little bit more polished.
And I actually, Run makes an excellent point about The Mandalorian, and you have to think, once Disney launches their streaming service, Disney Plus, that all of their marquee shows, especially the MCU shows, are just going to be off the charts in CG. So I think we're in this a very good place for our streaming services, especially with, we talk about Star Trek Discovery, how great it looks for a television show.
Yes.
We expect a lot now. We really do. And
Been spoiled.
We certainly have been spoiled. There you go.
I'm not going to say that we've been spoiled. I'm going to say, if they're expecting us to pay for this, if we're paying a premium, then we should get premium content.
Also true. Yes.
You're putting it behind a paywall. So we should get
DC has till November 12th to get it right. That's all I'm going to say. They got till November 12th to get it right with me.
Well, I'm going to say that they're doing something right, because we're all three sitting here talking about it. We liked it enough to where I felt like this was something that I wanted to get on and talk about. And obviously you guys had an opinion, or you wouldn't be on here. So they are doing something right, and I like that.
That's true.
So I want to ask, they did set up a couple of things about this season for series two, which was Deathstroke. So, we've seen various iterations of Deathstroke. So what do you guys think of the snippets that we've gotten so far of this Deathstroke for this series?
He obviously seemingly hates Robin a lot, because, he kind of he goes into this state when he sees Robin on the television, basically being the bad boy hero that he is. But I don't know. I'm excited about it. I don't know a lot about Deathstroke, but I actually loved his uniform. So I'm anxious to see how he actually looks suited up, because, they flash to it sitting on a wall. I'm like, that looks fantastic. That's going to look good on screen.
Yeah. And, I thought it was quite interesting that they set it up with him to look like the anti-Batman, even with his, assistant, or you want to call him an Alfred or whatever, that was there with him. I was like, okay, this is kind of like the dark Batman in a way.
Yeah. We'll call his butler Altonio.
Ah, there you go. At least he's not the Batman who laughs. There you go. So what did you think, Ron?
I liked it. I liked the suit. I guess the scene we were talking about, how he just saw Robin on the screen, I'm calling that the Kill Bill scene. He just saw red, and you just hear the music in the background. that was it right there. It seems like he was, before then, he looked like he was living a peaceful life. Everything was good.
Yep. It's seclusion.
Yeah, it's seclusion. And then all of a sudden, he sees a Robin on the screen, and he just reverted right back to old Slade.
All right, so I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to make a speculation here, and I'm going to speculate that when we meet a character by the name of Rose, that what is wrong with her eye, is going to be Jason Todd's fault in this story. And that would help explain why he goes red and sees and says, okay, I'm fixing to, you know, go take care of him. That might explain that.
It might. I'm not too familiar with the character Rose per se, exactly who she is.
I won't spoil it for you because the next episode coming up is titled, believe it or not, Rose.
Yeah, Rose, yeah.
I'll let you guys watch and see how, because they may present the character totally different in this iteration. Okay. I will be curious to see if we see Tara.
That would be very interesting.
So what would you guys say if I were to ask you to give – well, let me do this. Let's do like we do on Discussing Who, and let me say, is there anything else you guys had written down that you wanted to talk about that you made notes of that we have not covered? And Clarence, I'll start with you.
Well, yes, I do have a few things, so I'm glad you like pointed in my way. First, we have this thing where, of course, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know this well – where you have to kill your father to become all powerful. I thought it was interesting in this show. I will say I thought it was interesting seeing who Raven's father was. Also in that moment, leading up to that moment, we get some nice things that should appease fans. Now, I'm not a huge Teen Titans person, but I did, you know, get excited when we saw Raven eventually get the crystal in her forehead. I thought that was beautifully played and well done in this episode. But the notion that love conquers all about Beast Boy just touching her hand, bringing her from the brink of, becoming a mass, you know, villain or whatever. I thought that was just a little too cheesy. And I know there are a couple in the show or whatever, or in the lore. But we've gone through all this, and he just touches her hand. Come back to me.
But and she is an empath. You got to think that too.
Yeah. All right.
I suppose.
All right. So keep going. Other than touchy feely.
Yeah, I think I've covered everything. I just kind of ran through it real quick. But yeah, that's the few points I had that we didn't bring up.
All right, cool. All right, Ron, what about you?
No, I will say, I mean, we talked about it being more so of a season finale than an actual premiere and all. But it throughout the show, there was like some nostalgic moments that made me go, ooh, that's cool. Like Clarence said about the Raven's crystal, how it was formed into a forehead. I thought that was wonderfully done. I like that part. And also during the part where Dick was talking to Bruce, he mentioned about San Francisco or about the teen power.
And I was like, at that point,
oh, okay. I'm all into this. I want to see this and get to see Titan's Tower. At the end of this episode, I thought that was so cool. And how it's just in the city instead of, I think on the show, on the cartoon show, it was like on an island, but they actually put it in the city. I thought that was really cool. So having them put Titan's Tower on there instead of just making some generic version of their headquarters, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we get this awesome little glance when Beast Boy walks in, I guess, the dressing room or whatever.
Oh, yes.
And you
can
glance up the old team.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know where I'm going back to the beginning of the episode, but we haven't really even talked Starfire. But I love the interaction that kind of who's the alpha female of the group between Starfire and your, you know, Donna Troy. And she's like, oh, well, you're doing this. Well, you're the Titan who quit. And I love the playback between them. That to me was cool.
Yeah. And it got to the point with Donna Troy, I guess before they were walking through the little portal, she turned and said, let's go Titans. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yes. That was cool. That was cool. I can't wait to see her in the red outfit. Then I'm going to be like, you know, grinning from ear to ear, be happy. So the only thing that I had that we did not talk about was, and I want to go back now and watch Doom Patrol. I'm pretty darn sure that mansion that they were walking in for Wayne Manor was the same thing as the Doom Patrol mansion.
I certainly thought it was.
Okay, yeah. Cool. It wasn't just me.
Yeah, it looks very similar.
Very similar, yeah.
All right,
because even the fountain was there, too. They had, or I think, didn't they have a fountain at
I think they
Doom
did.
Patrol?
I think they did indeed. But yeah, when they were walking down that hall, I was like, that's where I saw that. Let's give our final review of episode number one. And so on a scale of 1 to 5, and since I started with Clarence last time, Ron, I'll start with you. What would you give this from a scale of 1 to 5?
I have to give episode 1, a.k.a. episode 12, I have to give it a 3.5.
Okay. All right. Why? Curious.
Just like I said from the beginning of it, it didn't really necessarily feel like more so of a premiere, but more of a final chapter. But it also allowed itself to finish what happened in the previous season, but also give you a little something else what's going to happen later on in the season, on season 2. So that definitely helped out. And also, like I mentioned, it definitely hit you with some nostalgia moments on the show with the glimpse of the Teen Tower, Raven's crystal, how that formed. And even though it wasn't what we expected with Trigon, it was kind of cool to see him in there, I guess, to
see a real live action version. I agree.
Mm-hmm. What else is to come? Because like I said, I don't really feel that Trigon is actually dead. I think they're just kind of putting him to the side for now, and then we could see something maybe later on in future seasons.
So, Clarence, what say you? 1 to 5.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with a 3. You know, it would have been 3.5. You know, if we got it at the end of last season, it may would have even been a 4. But I have my reasons why I'm dropping it 0.5 points down from run score. And the reason being is Jor-Mahmud Batman. People complain about Batflick. They complain about Robert Pattinson, although we haven't seen him yet. Now you have a real reason to complain, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really.
So, oh, this is fun. You're making this, oh, so much fun. So, I'm going to give it a 3.25. And I will, for everything that Clarence said of going from the 3.5 down to a 3. And while I do think Ben Affleck did a good job as Batman, Jordan Mormont was not in Batman versus Superman. So he gets 0.25 points in the positive to make it 3.25.
Oh, boy. But you have to think, if Ian Glenn had been in Batman v Superman, that movie would be substantially worse. That's all I'm saying.
That politics.
So I will say that anybody listening needs to see. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to just say anybody listening needs to go back and watch and or listen to episode number 3 of Discussing Who, when we still talked comic books. Actually, it was episode 4 when we still talked comic books on Discussing Who, and listening to Kyle rant along with Lee Shackelford, and poor Clarence having to listen to our rants about how much we hated Superman versus Batman. Episode number 4, Discussing Who. Are you ready?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right, Lee, I'm going to start with you. What did you think?
I freaking hate this movie. I can't remember the last time that I have come out of the theater with my fist clenched because I was angry. There.
Okay, so you said that with
I'm done. Drops mic.
I can tell. And you know what? I'm right there with you. So I want to know what made you dislike that movie.
Sports.
In other words, we hate Superman versus Batman. And with that said, Ryan, where else might people find you on the internet?
Well, sir, you can find Extremely Geeked Out on social media, all of social media, which is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And also, if you want to listen to the show, you can find it on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple, pretty much anywhere that has any kind of listening platforms. So it's not hard to find, not hard to find at all.
Sweet. So Clarence Brown, what say you? Where else could you be found on the internet?
Yeah, I'll just say, guys, if you are into Star Trek and you are into any of the latest series on CBS All Access, we cover those in depth as well as going into the back history of Star Trek to talk about those episodes as well. I will say we are not experts, but we have a lot of fun talking about it. And if you want to join in on the fun, check us out at discussingtrek.com.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. And I will also point people, since I mentioned Discussing Who, if you're a Doctor Who fan, of course, you can find Clarence and I, along with our friend Lee, on Discussing Who at discussingwho.com. And also, if you are a fan of audio science fiction dramas, you can also find Clarence and Lee on the Relativity podcast. There are four seasons out, and they are prepping up for the final season of Relativity, and that can be found at relativitypodcast.com. So for everyone listening, thank you for joining us. Let us know what you thought of Titans Series 2, Episode 1. Go to our Facebook page or go to our Facebook group. You can look for Discussing Network to find that. And we will be back soon with another episode review of Powers and House of X and 10 for the X-Men. So thanks everyone for listening, and we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.